special episode of The Pastor's Heart. Dominic Steele here, and today we're talking stem cells, COVID-19 and the Archbishops. The key issue, should you personally choose to use a COVID-19 vaccine candidate that makes use of a cell line cultured from an electively aborted human fetus? Or to put it super bluntly, if I get vaccinated for COVID-19, am I complicit in an abortion? Our guest, Dr. Megan Best, is a bioethicist who's promoted a Christian view of medical ethics for over 20 years. Megan is the author of two books on ethics, At the Beginning of Life, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, and A Life Already Started, as well as many articles on ethics and spiritual care at the end of life. And Dr. Chase Kuhn is with us as well. He is the director for the Centre for Christian Living and lectures on theology and ethics at Moore Theological College in Sydney. Now, we have had a stack of questions submitted on Facebook already, and we'll come to them, but you can still send them in if you'd like to on the Pastor's Heart Facebook page. The Pastor's Heart is primarily aimed at serving pastors, although I am imagining that today's episode will be watched as part of discussion in church community groups, Bible study groups, as Christians all across the place try to sort through how to approach this question. Now, we've had statements from the archbishops, but let's, for the beginning, put those statements to one side and try and think from the ground up about Christian ethics and these questions. And Megan, perhaps we start with that question. If I get vaccinated for COVID-19, am I complicit in an abortion? Is it a simple question or not?
It's not a simple question. There's no simple answer. But do you want me to give it a shot? I think that we need to remember the abortion in question occurred in the 1960s. And the abortion wasn't motivated by a plan to use the cells in research. So we're removed from that decision when we think about the vaccine. And so if we trace the life of those cells, they were taken after the abortion from the baby's body. Mm-hmm. They were then converted into a cell line, not stem cells, but a fetal cell line, which is self-replicating.
Now, just for those of us who aren't wizards like yourself, what's a cell line?
A cell line is a tissue culture where cells can keep replacing themselves over time, and they're sold to different laboratory groups as material for research. So there is a commercial industry of selling fetal tissue from abortion clinics, which is ongoing. And then one of the uses is to develop these cell lines, which are now being used all over the world to develop a number of things, including vaccines for humans. And so those cells are not actually in the vaccine. And the cells that would be used now are not cells from the actual body of the aborted fetus. So there is that time, and there was no involvement in the person receiving the vaccine in that decision to use those cells for research. So now we have a case where there's a virus which is grown in those cells to create the vaccine, and the tissue extracted from that substrate is then used for the actual vaccine. So there is nothing from that fetal tissue line in the actual vaccine. It's just, if you like, those cells are like little factories that grow the virus that's used for the vaccine. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. Now, so you have to decide how straight is that line between the abortion and the vaccine.
There's about 100 questions that I've got as follow-up questions, but can I just ask one very simple one? I just was remembering that in 1990, there was a debate about stem cell research, and it was a big debate. And so I was just a little surprised to hear that this was happening in 1973. Do you know, was I living under a rock in 1973?
I've written about this before. This is the first time I've seen it brought to public consciousness quite so clearly in Australia. Last year, the Trump administration actually brought in a law saying that they wouldn't fund any more research using fetal tissue.
Let's draw you in there, Chase. You've thought about this area. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just thinking that, yeah, I think there have been some moves made in certain places like the United States which have sought to defund it, but it doesn't necessarily remove the practice. As my understanding is that those that have been practicing with tissues that were extracted previously, that is sort of grandfathered in, if you mm-hmm. will, and that those can continue on.
So was it illegal in 1973?
No, it's not illegal now.
No. But so what was the debate in 1990 that happened so much later? You know.
Let me tell you about stem cells. Mm. Stem cells have the particular ability to be developed into any tissue type that you want. It's what we call pluripotent, and it's still hasn't decided which type of tissue it's going to be. It's very early on in development, so it might become bone tissue or muscle tissue or skin tissue, and you still have the opportunity to guide a stem cell down one of those paths. And the embryonic stem cells, which were the focus of the debate in the, in Australia it was around 2002, mm-hmm. They come from a 6-day-old embryo called a blastocyst in the inner cell mass of mm-hmm. a blastocyst. So by harvesting those stem cells, you kill the embryo. And so in Australia, it's legal to use embryos which have being donated from IVF clinics. It's also legal to actually make human embryos with the sole purpose of destructive research. Mm-hmm. So that's the case in Australia. You need to get permission to do that kind of mm-hmm. experiment in Australia, but it's definitely legal. Mm.
What's your take on the competing ethical obligations or requirements, Chase?
With regards to the vaccine or with regards to the development?
To the vaccine,
Well, it is tricky, I think, as Megan's just said. I think that the line from the act itself of the abortion so long ago to what we receive now is complicated. I think if I could sidestep it a little bit, I want to say the reason why I think it's being brought up today is because there's an opportunity now to try to set a better trajectory going forward, is my understanding. So I think we get alarms raised when we see headlines in the news of what the archbishops did or didn't say. I think what the archbishops are trying to say is we actually want a vaccine that is going to go as far and as wide as possible. And if we're going to make a vaccine that has potentially morally problematic genesis, then actually that could make some individuals feel complicit in the act, and therefore the vaccine may not go as far and wide as is hoped. So while we're still in the commitment stage, why not commit to a vaccine that has less problematic origins?
Yeah. That sounds similar to what you were saying to me earlier today, Megan.
Yes, I think that what might have precipitated the letter is the fact that the Oxford University vaccine that our Prime Minister has had some arrangements to get 25 million doses of for Australians, is one of the ethically problematic viruses. The WHO keeps a website which they regularly update on what vaccines are currently in production. And I looked yesterday, it was up to 169 different vaccines currently under development, and only a handful are ethically troublesome. So, as Chase said, why don't we take this opportunity to try to make sure there's the opportunity for an ethical vaccine to be available to Australians? But in some ways it's a moot point, because at the moment no vaccine has got to the point of being safe and effective to the point that it can be offered to the public. So it's really a discussion before the vaccine becomes available, saying let us pursue ethical alternatives as well as this non-ethical alternative, where people who do have some reservations about possible complicity in a past abortion will be free to have the vaccine, because we really need 85 to 95% of the population to be vaccinated in order for a vaccine to really stop this brutal impact of the COVID-19 vaccine.
And if we have significant community leaders expressing disquiet, that's not going to happen. That's really what we're thinking?
Well, hopefully there will be ethical alternatives available. Mm. And if so, we want Australians to have the chance to use them.
Yeah, I think that the archbishops were seeking to seek an ethical alternative before it's too late. In other words, before we put all of our eggs in that basket, which I don't think the government's done yet, mm-hmm. before we commit too far down that path, let's actually pursue other alternatives that may actually make the vaccine more widely acceptable to mm-hmm. the population. So some people have been concerned that the archbishop speaking out would play into the anti-vaxxers' hands. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's intended in quite the opposite direction, however it may be spun otherwise. I think what they're trying to say is, don't give anybody an objection for the vaccine. In other words, let's make it much more acceptable so that everybody will take it on board.
Mm. Which is what we want.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the good of the community. Mm. So Christians, on the one hand, do have a moral obligation to oppose abortion, but we also have a moral obligation to love our neighbours and participate in a public vaccination program for the common good.
Okay, I've got one and the other. Which one do I do?
Do you want to take that, or will I take it?
This is the issue.
I mean, is there only one vaccine available? Well, the answer is there's no vaccine available yet. Mm-hmm. No vaccine that's publicly available yet. There are many under trial. So whilst we await a viable vaccine, and it really is a race to that end at the moment in the marketplace, and it really is a marketplace amongst pharmaceutical companies, while it's a race to that end, we're trying to say, let's go towards the best vaccines that are going to be as suitable as possible again. So I think it's not a choice right now of either I take the vaccine from what originated from the fetal tissue from the aborted child, or I risk COVID and risk the entire community getting infection. I don't think we're at that place yet. If we got to that place, I think it would be one of those very difficult situations. I'll pause here and make a quick commendation, actually. Megan won't do it, but I'll do it for her. Her book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, has a direct address of this that she wrote 8 years ago, actually picking up on the very argument about vaccines and how we use fetal tissue. And so she works through, I think, three steps of questions about whether or not we'd be morally complicit in an abortion if we take a vaccine that was developed from that. And you answer in the negative, actually, but want to sound out some real warnings. And again, I want to be careful about what I think has been said from the archbishops. I don't think they're saying don't take the vaccine, even if it's developed this way. I think what they're trying to do is put abortion on the radar once more and say, we don't want to keep on saying we'll keep depending on this technology in a way that somehow affirms abortion as a good. Mm. We don't want to keep saying that we need this or that it's good. We actually want to distance ourselves from this evil.
And also the commercial factors in abortion clinics are one of the things that continue to make it so easily available. And if we remove some of the commercial benefits of abortion for the companies involved, they may not push quite so hard in terms of legislation, in terms of making it so easily available.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, we've got a whole stack of questions coming on Facebook. Let's start with this one from Steve Wilson. My question: how is using the cell line developed from an aborted child to hopefully produce a vaccine any different from using the organs of a murdered 3-year-old for transplantation? We wouldn't say organ transplantation encourages or endorses or justifies or sanctions murder or car crashes or any other form of premature death. Neither would we say it exploits or takes advantage of the child.
Exactly.
You're agreeing with him?
I agree. I think that you could argue that because the decision to have the abortion in the 1960s was not influenced by whether or not the tissue of the fetus would be used for a cell line. They were separate decisions. And in the same way, if we accept a donated organ from someone who's been murdered, it doesn't mean we condone murder. I have seen no evidence that one of the motivations for murder is to produce organ mm-hmm. donors in our society, and if it were the case, we would certainly change our attitude towards accepting those mm-hmm. donated organs. But I think that you have to. I think time reduces moral culpability, but also intention is an important part of moral culpability, and the intention to use the vaccine has no bearing on whether or not that abortion was going to take place.
Mm-hmm. I agree, yeah.
Another one from Aidan Sabrava. It seems that all the harm which could be done in developing the HEK293 cell line for medical research was done in the 1970s. Despite the tragic origin of HEK293, research using this cell line has saved many lives and may indeed save many more. Should medical researchers cease using this cell line for research? If so, should Christians eschew all technology with questionable origins, e.g. can a Christian drive a Volkswagen Beetle? Could a Christian board a rocket ship if it relied on von Braun's work?
I'll take this question. I'm happy to answer that. I mean, in one sense, again, this is a very grey area and a difficult topic for us to talk about. There is a matter of proximity. That is, the general consumer, let's take it out of this conversation for a moment, the general consumer that purchases a Volkswagen is not thinking about the kinds of historical atrocities that may have led to that company growing up at one point in time. Mm-hmm. It's just a commercial brand nowadays.
Do you need to explain what the atrocities were for people who may not be aware of?
I would actually love it if somebody wants to fill in those gaps about what's around just German manufacturing, I'm guessing. Is that right?
Well, we do know that certain elements in medical technology are based on some of the medical atrocities by the Nazis in World War II. Mm. And I think it would be impossible to separate, for example, some things we know about orthopedics or treatment of hypothermia nowadays from what was done by the Nazis. And so in a way, it's technically impossible to separate what was done then with what we do now because it's so difficult to know where that link actually exists. So I think the question is, should Christians benefit from previous evil acts which have produced knowledge in manufacturing?
I think the difference is that we can't necessarily avoid the past in the sense that we can't reframe it. We actually live now building on from that past, and how we choose to build on that is a question. I guess in this instance in particular, now moving into this situation, we have specific information. And the question is, if we're acting in ignorance, are we complicit? Well, probably not, I'm guessing. We're not trying to be complicit in something bad. But the more that we know, the more responsible we become in one sense. And I think, therefore, the different course of action we need to consider taking. It may be that we consider taking the same action we would have taken otherwise. But at this point in time, as we learn more, we say, well, if there's an alternative that's better, why not? Mm. So in the manufacturing of clothing, if you get clothing that's unethically sourced and depends on child labor, and you find out about that, I would have thought that we would have a difficult time justifying purchasing those contents still, rather than paying a little bit more money to get something that's ethically sourced. That's, again, information we learn, and we should therefore change course. I think this is a chance for us. We know something about the genesis of this vaccine. We know that there are alternative practices available, and there are even other pathways being pursued now. Why not pursue a better pathway is what we're asking.
And viable alternatives to fetal cell lines have been available for over 10 years. It's now possible to change the practice in a way maybe it wasn't in the 70s. But there, you could use cells that have been extracted from amniocentesis to do the same function. And that would be scientifically just as good. Why don't we make the choice to take the ethical alternative?
What's happening in common practice across the board at the moment in medicine? Like, just with, are people making those choices?
You can see Christians in key positions in research institutions have been making ethical choices and encouraging ethical practices. I think that ethical challenges have been opportunities for more creative thinking in science. It doesn't necessarily have to be a barrier. It can also be seen as an opportunity for more creative thinking. And I think that when it comes to developing cell lines, we have alternatives which will receive the same outcome. So why not choose the ethical alternative and make it easier? You know, we've got lots of things we get vaccinated for. And I think that we need to continue to apply pressure to scientists to take the ethical alternative.
With that, I think, I mean, if you think about the American situation, where they're defunding this kind of research and support, that's a positive step that's come on the back of lobbying over a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things Megan's been very involved in a number of bioethical fronts is lobbying the government for positive change in a more ethical direction. And again, we may build on some learning that we've had in the past. And just like anything we do in life now, we repent of some of those things mm-hmm. that we've done so that we can move a better way forward. And I think this is the time now where we can make petition for better ways forward.
And what would repentance look like? Campaigning.
Well, repentance for us may look like campaigning. In the first instance, the difficult situation is, what if the vaccine, the only vaccine, comes from this origin? I guess that's the difficult moral circumstance we're in. And in that case, I think Megan's argument in her book is very convincing about loving our neighbor and even the matter of proximity. But I think this is an important time and we're not at that juncture yet. We can actually petition a better way forward for us so that we don't even have to get into that gray moral space.
Mm.
I will just say that the Vatican has put out a statement saying that in the absence of an alternative, it is acceptable to use a vaccine derived from fetal cells if that's the only alternative available.
Another question.
While seeking more ethical alternatives.
Yeah.
Whitney Crowd has asked, is this only about fetal cells in vaccines from the 1970s? Will there be mentioning of the humanized mice, etc., used for experimentation today for current medical research using today's aborted baby organs? My son has a fatal lung disease, and when advancements are made in research that improve his quality of life and life expectancy, I want to celebrate. But when the articles mention humanized mice, I feel ashamed to even share the article because I know what that means and it's absolutely tragic to me. Tell me about humanized mice.
I actually have just written an article for the next issue of Case magazine looking at hybrids. But it is true that a line of experimental mice have been bred that contain a little bit of tissue that was extracted from an aborted fetus in order to develop a therapy which will be able to be injected into a human without the immunological rejection process, which would normally occur if we inject tissue into a human being. There are a number of different types of combination of animal and human tissue in experimental phases at the moment, designed to grow organs, to grow particular tissues, or different to act as a vector for particular genetic changes, genetic engineering that will create a benefit for the human.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly is very accepted in scientific circles to use those mice, and they've been considered very useful. But we need to continue to search for ethical alternatives.
Right. Wes Smith asks, how many lives do you sacrifice if you don't use this particular cell line and subsequent vaccines that have been produced, such as rubella and shingles vaccines, one life for many? I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Ethical alternatives have been available for over 10 years. I don't think we have to sacrifice.
So if I go to the doctor and ask for a vaccine, which one am I likely to be given? An ethical one or a non-ethical? I mean,
it depends on the disease.
Is it like me when I go to the doctor and that they say, are you prepared to take the generic alternative for this drug? Should I have that kind of conversation with my doctor?
I doubt your doctor will know how each vaccine has been developed, but there are certainly vaccines in common usage in Australia which have unethical origins.
In common usage.
Mm.
Do you want
to? Well, I was just going to say one thing we should raise about this maybe on the side, rather than get down the specifics of each of the vaccines, is what we mean by unethical. I don't know if we've actually talked about this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that the response from the health officer that was speaking in response to even say yesterday's post mm-hmm. about what the Archbishop said and what Megan's referring to as unethical or different.
Mm-hmm.
So their ethical sourcing is in regards to what is commonly considered ethical practice in terms of biomanufacturing, I'm guessing. And so they're not thinking about the origin from an aborted fetus. they're actually thinking about the ways that they're handling the material post receiving that tissue. And so therefore, all along the way, what they're trying to reassure you is that it's safe and that we're actually handling things to the utmost care and scrutiny. And what we're saying is actually, you're building on a presupposition of something that we are saying is fundamentally unethical. So we have to go further back than where you're starting. It's not just the handling of the tissue beyond that. Now, with regards to this, I think this is a real danger. And again, why some people get worried about the anti-vax is, what happens if I find out that MMR vaccine is entirely unethical from its origin? You look at me, maybe you know that it is always.
I know.
Yeah, that's why it's dangerous.
I don't want to encourage the anti-vax attitude. I think it's so important for us as Christians to contribute to public vaccination programs by accepting vaccines when there is no alternative available to us, even if we have ethical problems with it, because the ethical imperative, I think, to love our neighbour and contribute to vaccination programs to protect the vulnerable in our society is a greater demand than the push against the use of aborted fetuses from the past to produce cell lines which are used in the manufacture of those vaccines. But it is the case that modern applications of rubella, measles, mumps, chickenpox vaccines do involve the use of these fetal cell lines from previously aborted fetuses. So it's certainly an issue, and it's why I raised it a decade ago, saying that we need to start lobbying for ethical alternatives, because this is something that's in our lives every day.
I think one of the dangers is the rhetoric that we use. So the anti-vaxxers are always kind of written off as conspiracy theorists, and then you have the medical community that's written off as just purely commercial. And I think that can easily polarize, much like politics, the way these things happen, to have a more robust discussion around the science and the information that's actually being used is much more important. And so I think maybe a bit more grace on each side and a bit more open dialogue is good, which is very important. A bad joke, I'll tell you, I don't know if it's appropriate in a conversation like this, but I said to my class that I grew up in an anti-vax family early on. I was ultimately vaccinated as a teenager, but after I'd grown to 6'4", and therefore I blamed all of their stunted growth to bad jokes. But I've vaccinated my children. I think it's a very responsible and good thing to do. And as I'll just affirm what Megan said, that
and even the Vatican would agree with that statement. And they put out a position statement, I think it was in 2013, which has just been reaffirmed last year, that in the case of no safe alternative, that these vaccines that have been derived through use of fetal cell lines should be used while lobbying for an ethical alternative.
So, I mean, a practical thing, I'm just trying to think aloud of a practical step where if I'm feeling uncomfortable about doing the vaccination, now that I know what you've just told me, you're saying it might be loving to go ahead with the vaccination, but write to the health minister on the same day. Do you know something like that? Is that, I mean, if every parent went ahead with the vaccination and wrote to the health minister on the same day, then actually that would have an impact.
Absolutely. Our politicians listen to their constituents. They are interested in our views. And because we live in a democracy, everyone's view is valid. As Christians, we're not pushing our views on other people when we write a letter to a politician. We're just letting the people we voted for know our views so they can represent us in a responsible way.
Mm-hmm. A couple of little sound bites. Yay or nay on the Archbishop's statements the last 24 hours?
I think it's a great thing they brought this to public attention.
Great thing. Mm-hmm. I stand with them in it.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm thankful for the leadership actually stepping up into this space and taking the lead. We would, in the past, we've served on a committee together, Social Issues Committee of the Diocese, and we would have heard about these things earlier on often and been consulted in various ways, shapes, and forms. The Archbishop went ahead on this, and we didn't know about it until after it had come out. I was very pleased when I saw it. I was very thankful.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen as we go forward? I mean, say we don't find an ethically alternative vaccine, or do you think we will?
At the moment, there are on the WHO website, there are 169 possible vaccines in development. 30 of those are at the clinical trial stage. The clinical trial is a way of checking the dosage and the safety and efficacy of the vaccine. And maybe of those, five or six use fetal cell lines. The overwhelming majority of vaccines in development at the moment don't use fetal cell lines, so there may not be a problem. But I think it's a good thing that this issue has been brought to the attention of our politicians and that they are at least thinking about what alternatives might be available.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us this afternoon. My guests on The Pastor's Heart, Dr. Megan Best and Dr. Chase Kuhn. And you've been with us on this Tuesday afternoon, and we'll look forward to your company next Tuesday afternoon on The Pastor's Heart.
Hey, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, we would love it if you could hop over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating and review. That helps us in the rankings and lets other people discover The Pastor's Heart. And again, if you are able to help us out by being a financial partner, go to our Patreon link, patreon.com/thepastorsheart.